We had a collaboration with some Chinese scientists.
Here we have a vaccine. What is the problem? Get over it.
Now, if we do a really great job on new vaccines, healthcare, reproductive health services, we could lower that by perhaps 10 or 15%.
I hope that it can occur in a civil way. I mean civil in a special way, peaceful.
The biggest question, maybe in economics and politics of the coming decade, will be what to do with all these useless people.
I just see the need for such a dialogue, and I see the need for action. I see the need for a great reset.
We are 3 years, 11 months, and 20 days into 14 days to flatten the curve. Thank you for joining us today. I'm Johnny Anderson alongside Ned. How are you, Mr. Wizard?
I'm fine. I've got to ask you a question.
All right.
What we've just been talking about, is that going out on...
That's our prep. It's not going out on... It's not going out regular platforms, no. That's for subscribers only.
But it's going on irregular platforms.
It's going on irregular platforms, yes. Uncensored platforms, yeah.
Right. I was just wondering. Excellent.
Yeah. And of course, if you would like to know how to get that content, if you like the podcast you're listening to, perhaps you would consider becoming one of our paid subscribers. Benefits include access to bonus content, which Ned is talking about, as well as access to this podcast that will be released early for subscribers only. The link will be in the program description down below. We started with a bitch fest, or at least I did, about politicians and MPs and members of House and Senate.
Oh, I've got a few things to say about them. Just to enlighten a few.
Just a few things.
Well, you see, everybody's focusing on elections fog at the moment, aren't they? Because we know they're all coming in this year. But that means everything is going to start again. You know, it went quiet in Oxford because the people got upset about it.
Yeah.
It started again. Yeah. They're calling it LTN, Low Traffic Neighbourhoods. In three East Oxford LTNs, Church Cowley, Temple Cowley, and Florence Park. This is what happened March 21. But now work will officially start and should have started on the 26th of February this year, despite the previous pushback. There's preparations, they're calling it six traffic filters. To travel in your car will require a permit number plate, which will have a recognition on it.
Hang on a minute. Is this like the ULEZ thing that they've done in London, this kind of thing?
I don't know. No. You can apply for a permit.
To drive your car.
A permit to drive your own car. The traffic filter usage is 100 times a year. If you exceed the limit, £70 a journey or a fine.
£70 a journey.
Or if you don't pay the 70, you will get fined.
You'll get fined.
If you don't have a permit, or if you exceed the permit allowance, which you will be given.
Uh-huh.
Basically, the Oxford County Council, I mean, it's that Duncan Enright. I mean, I should have got rid of him. I mean, this is basically respect to the 15-minute neighbourhoods. And his saying was, whether the people like it or not, it's coming. So basically, yes, in London, they tried this out. And it failed. It created more congestion, more problems, but they're pushing it in Oxford. So it's all back on in Oxford. So it'll be interesting to see what happens there.
How are they going to enforce that?
Well, this is it. I've got to wait. They're sorting out the traffic filter systems. I've just heard of this, and I've got to see how it goes from here. Because there's got to be some feedback coming out of there soon.
Well, there has to be. They have to be putting up like what they did with like those ULEZ cameras. There have to be like vans and camera systems and things like, to scan like your number plate as you're going.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. The cameras, the CCTV and everything will be in the city already. The cameras will be there already. You can guarantee that.
Okay.
To actually allow this permit system to come into place, they'll just scan.
Yeah, there have to be scanners. Yeah, number plate scanners and things all the time. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's what it's all about. Your permit will be your number plate.
So this is basically, this is your 15-minute city, at least part of it.
Well, this is restrict. Why are they restricting people from traveling?
Well, that's part of the 15-minute city, is you're being restricted from, like, your movement's being restricted.
Yep. So, hey-ho, that's started on the 26th of February, apparently. So whether everything's going to go up in arms or not, I don't know. But that's a good start, isn't it, in the UK?
That's a great start. Yeah, it's a great start.
We have to say goodbye to somebody.
Is Neil Ferguson leaving the Imperial College of London, or no?
No.
No. Is Charlie leaving the throne?
No.
No. Can I have one more guess?
I think he's got a problem. He's been seeing a doctor.
Yeah, he has been seeing a doctor. Yeah. Do I get one more guess?
Yeah.
Is Jeremy Vine finished on the morning show? I'm just guessing. You said we're going to lose somebody. I'm picking the.
As long as that show gets ratings, it's a reflection on how dumb the public are.
There's it no really argument is. There. Have you seen the U.S. morning shows? They're just as bad.
Yeah. Media is the mainstream media is just garbage. Dame June Rain is leaving. She came into her job in August 2019 and she's done the 5-year stint and now she's leaving. And she is the chief executive of the MHRA. That horrible person is going. And the only reason I'm bringing her to the fore is basically because, once again, you see, because there was a group of MPs, yeah, and because they're part of an informal party, because they're cross-party, not a specific party, and they're not in the party's whip headlines that gets brought to the front of, the Daily Commons debate or bitch sesh or shouting sesh or whatever goes on in there. These are what you call the APPGs, yeah, the all-party parliamentary groups. They're informal. They get together, but they do raise questions and they want to bring to a point that something needs to be said. They've raised the point that the MHRA, now the MHRA, if the people don't understand, this is like, you have FDA, CDC, yeah. Drug approval in America. These are the people approve drugs.
That's ceremonial, as we learned during COVID.
Yeah. So it's drug approval, medical devices, and they're supposed to monitor side effects caused by treatments. That's, the yellow card stuff and all that, yeah, that's supposed to have gone on. Now, they've raised a point about this, and once again, this is the year of elections. They're changing faces, and this is one of them they're changing. And some of the MPs have raised the point that in many cases, the yellow card reporting system only picked up 1 in 180 cases of harm. 1 in 180. And you know how many were reported. But she did a press release the other day. And I'll tell you what, it's just a joke. She said it's been an enormous privilege to have led the MHRA through a time of change which is unprecedented in the UK medical products regulation. I agree with you there. It was unprecedented what the actual push through medically in the last 5 years. I'm especially proud during my last 5 years, the agency has built a new vigilance system, strengthening international and national partnerships, and delivering regulation which has enabled groundbreaking innovation. There's no lies in there. That's all saying working alongside our corporate friends, nationally and internationally, and delivering regulations which has enabled innovation and us to push a drug on the country. From gene therapy for sickle cell disease and the world's first COVID vaccine to being close to eradicating polio, from medical device software to AI diagnostics, the whole same rhetoric. She says it's been an honor to lead the agency, right? In an agency that has patient safety as its top priority. This is how she can voice this, I don't know. And she says while she's stepping back, she'd like to be involved in the future in more patient safety. If her name comes up, people, you don't want to get anywhere near her, whatever.
No, I would say not. No, absolutely not.
No. Apparently, there's 25 MPs across four parties that have written to the Health Select Committee asking for an urgent investigation. Now, remember what I was telling you in prep about notice of liability? Yeah. I suggest this lady is leaving this job in the autumn. So I suggest anybody that suffered any harm from the vaccine or the medication sends her a notice of a liability from themselves, bury her in them. and see if you can start a movement. Because that's another thing. It seems to be the thing at the moment. And I say that because there was... I'm going to tell you something later, which is very interesting. I look back into these notice of liability, and so many have been issued over the last few years. And one of them that I raised, because I looked at the issues, especially from people like Dr. Tess Laurie and that, which is associated with the World Council for Health, which has obviously come into blossom since the COVID nightmare. Basically, they've got a good idea. This notice of liability is what's used for people to against, because the government says they didn't mandate anything, but pressure was put on to firms. The employees, if they felt like they were coerced, forced into taking a vaccine, they didn't have to. And this notice of liability is out there to say you can get back at your company. But this is also, believe it or not, being used, I believe, as a tool to break small companies, even though by law there were no mandates as such, but pressure from different peoples. Yeah, it's a bit of a mess. But if you've been hurt, you have a right, people. You have a right. Yeah, there's not much more I can say on that. Yellow card and reporting, there's so much of it out there, and so much of it got missed in that time frame. And people, that lady, oh, yeah, she's a dame. The one thing I didn't look up was to see if she became a dame during that time, like a lot of people.
There were a lot of them. Did. Yeah, yeah. Well, in the NHS, outside of it.
It was handed out like sweeties, wasn't it?
It was. You had David Cameron, Tony Blair, Van Tam, Chris Whitty, Sajid Javid. They're all given knighthood and all the rest of that. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's very naughty.
I do have some pushback. I do have some good news. Yeah, I do have some good news. The CDC has...
Is this going to be a joke or is what?
No. This is the actual... This is the truth. This is the truth. This is what the CDC have done. The CDC have lifted their five-day isolation requirement for people that test positive for COVID.
I didn't know it's still going on.
I didn't either. It was still going on. They now have new guidance. They say that basically they're treating it like the flu or anything else. They say stay home if you're sick. Yeah. They say stay home if you're sick, but you can return to school or work once you're feeling better and you've had 24 hours without a fever.
Oh, okay.
So they've gone back to just what pre-COVID was, just the cold and flu.
Okay, so flu-type symptoms.
Yes.
Yeah. Because you can have COVID without a fever.
Yes.
Yes. So you can go back to school with COVID, but as long as you haven't got a fever, you're okay.
Well, as long as it's gone for at least 24 hours and it doesn't come back.
What if you haven't had a fever?
Well, you just feel like shit. You grin and bear it. Just go, yeah.
Carry on regardless.
Yeah, just spread it to everybody. Shake hands and sneeze and cough and hack
actually,
all over everybody. Yeah. Blow your nose in the...
Healthy
blow your nose
do,
all
actually.
Over the floor. Yeah, it's fine.
Well, there is a bit of good news, though, come out of Australia. Queensland, of all places, the Supreme Court ruling. COVID vaccine mandates for police officers and paramedics were unlawful.
Go figure.
Yeah, there was three lawsuits by 86 parties put forward.
Hold on a second. Supreme Court in Australia, does that mean the entire country?
In Queensland.
In Queensland. Oh, okay. So Queensland. All right. So that doesn't hit Dan Andrews, does it? As Victoria. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But this is a push.
That's true.
So if one Supreme Court can stand up, the rest of the judiciary system should follow suit. They found that the direction is limiting the human rights of workers because they were required to undergo a medical procedure without full consent. Well on you. Former Queensland Health Director General John Wakefield was unable to prove he issued the vaccine mandate under an implied term of employment agreement for the ambulance workers. Yeah. So they basically said it was unlawful. But the thing is, there was a man called Clive Palmer, who's a businessman, and he provided $2.5 million to support this case. And that is the biggest problem a lot of people will have, getting the lawyers to front things, getting people to put it up there. It's horrible, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
But hopefully that will set a precedent. Somebody stepped up with a bit of cash and supported the local people. So that's not a bad thing. What's the other thing? Larry Fink.
BlackRock.
Larry Fink, yeah.
Yeah.
He's not playing the ESG game anymore.
Really? Did BlackRock finally roll that one up?
Yeah, well, basically, because there was such an outcry from actually people that were sort of in his position near enough in BlackRock as well and other corporate things, they said it's a bit of a suicidal move. And obviously the outcry of woke capitalism sort of killed it.
You mean the investments that they're making won't show any returns in long term? You mean the things that we've been saying since the beginning of the green energy revolution? You mean we've been right and they've been wrong?
But guess what?
What?
They're doing something else.
Of course they are. What are they doing?
No ESGs.
Let me guess. Fake meat?
Transition investing.
Transition investing.
Yeah. They've got a new title. Now, I don't know whether Fink's going to be moving over in the near future, but there's a chap in there called Mark Weidman, right? He's the head of the global client business of BlackRock, yeah? He's a possible successor to Fink. He's situated in the right place. And he said, basically, transition investing is specific and concrete. So none of this wokiness sort of shit. So basically, this is how it's supposed to work. It says a direct push to pile money into infrastructure change, still in the same direction, away from fossil fuel. So they're still pushing this. Now, Fink has dropped all this racial equity, social injustice and all that stuff with it. That isn't even mentioned in this now, yeah? So all that stuff they've stirred up, all that harm they've caused with this moral, ethical reasons or whatever they wanted to push, it's as if it never existed now.
Yes.
Right?
It's just like...
So all you people that have been brought out of the corners of the woodwork, given all these new names and all these new directions... Well, yeah, you've been used, abused, and now you're discarded because it's now going into transition investing. The biggest problem with that is, I've noticed BlackRock is joining other investors, right? Other asset management firms like Brookfield Asset Management. And the thing is, they're all pushing and betting on the clean energy infrastructure projects. This is the next big push. They're actually...
What they say is clean. Okay, that's what I'm asking.
This is green bloody financing once again. Yeah, it's basically they've upped their ante because they, you know, a while ago I was talking about they wanted to get hold of a fund management firm called Global Infrastructure Partners. They've upped the ante for that because they want that and they want to bring it on board because they operate energy, transportation, waste and water companies around the world. So they want to bring them on board because basically this is the nasty thing about it is they've got funds in solar power. They put international gas made from food waste and cow manure. And I thought, hang on, hadn't BlackRock better support the farmers if they want to have cow manure? Because everybody wants to get rid of the cows, don't they?
Yeah, everybody wants to get rid of the cows with the green energy agenda. Everybody wants to get, you know, call the herds and do whatever. But then they want to do this lab-grown meat thing.
Oh, you can't. They need the cows now.
Oh, now they need the cows.
Clean energy. They need the cows.
Uh-huh, yeah.
So you've got and obviously they got carbon removal stuff. Now, what really bothers me is
carbon removal. Those ridiculous bullshit machines that we saw.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. All
they're still
ideas,
they're
yeah.
still doing that.
But he put a statement out, yeah, which is truthful and it's nasty because you know the S&P 500 is the Standard & Poor's list of the top 500.
Yeah,
500 things, right? Now he's voiced that BlackRock would be disposed to vote against management and boards at companies that weren't making progress on sustainability related practices, right? So basically, because BlackRock has a massive index fund business, yeah? Which basically means that it's amongst the three largest shareholders in most companies in the S&P 500.
Yes, they hold something like $10 trillion in assets or something like that.
Yeah, so... they're going to force the boards of these companies to follow what they want.
Yes.
People, when you force something that's not moved under its own merit or create something that doesn't work under its own merit, it's going to be wrong. And this is what they're doing. It's all going to be done by vast shareholder votes, basically. This is.
Well, there is a piece. There is a piece of good news in all of this. I mean, there is kind of a silver lining to this. Now, you're talking about them that are going to be leaning on all these companies, right? So you now have. We had Volkswagen. We've got Ford. I don't think GM's on board yet, but they will be soon. And then you've got Mercedes-Benz now, and they're all dumping this. EV stuff. Yes. Now, this is from a few days ago. Yeah, Ford, Mercedes, Audi, Volkswagen are all dumping it. Aston Martin is now following suit. So they're going to dump all their...
I didn't even know Aston Martin was going to go EV. They weren't, were they?
They were, yes. They were going to go EV.
Are you shitting me?
Nope. That's all gone now. Yeah, but Apple was the one that was in partnership with them to get the EV thing going with Aston Martin. But Apple actually pulled. Yeah, Apple pulled the plug, and Aston Martin obviously they have to back out now as well. So the EV market is basically it's dead for all intents and purposes. It's done.
Well, it's never going to be alive because
no matter what happens,
if you're in a temperate climate, fine. But if you There was no ways you were going to get the Emiratis running around in EVs.
No.
I mean, the degradation due to the actual temperature on those batteries would just be remarkably stupid anyway, no matter how well your batteries are.
You're not going to get convoys at the Kremlin running on EVs or in Beijing. I don't think you're going to see a procession for Xi Jinping rolling around in an EV.
ICBMs, lorries just chucking down.
That's true. Yeah. It'd be a Yars missile on the back of it. Yeah.
Hang on. We haven't got as far as doing the salute yet. Yeah. Well, we've run out of battery, mate. Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah. Well, send one of those goose stepping guys with the rifle. Send him after it. Yeah.
But yeah, it's all going to be that their idea is they're going to force this down the throat of all these companies. But personally, I think they're just going to and this is going to be another way for companies to fail.
This on screen, this was to be Aston Martin's first EV vehicle. It was due out in 2026, but, they've pulled the plug on it. It looks good if it was petrol powered. You know, it looks like a great car.
Battery power. It's the whole infrastructure. The world is destabilization due to digging all that crap out and put it somewhere. You see, don't get me wrong. Corporate bastards out there, right? They create an industry and they create all these green industries, yeah? They'll have your whirly gravestones out there, your solar panels out there. They're all weak energy, yeah? And they are going to fail. And the corporate people know they're going to fail. And what are they going to do when they fail? They're going to create businesses that are going to cost you an arm and a leg to dispose of it. You're going to pay... you're going to sustain these things. You're going to pay for their creation, right? You're going to put your taxpayers' money into their pocket so they can sell them back to you for a stupid price. And then you're going to pay them to get rid of it. And they'll say, it's your fault because you asked for it. Yeah? I'm sorry. Lighten up, people. It's the biggest con over and over again. The recycling con. Remember, plastic after the war. Wonderful thing. They used it, and then they thought, hang on, the people aren't just disposing of the plastic. So they started a propaganda thing to say, just use it and throw it away. We can create loads of it. But by the 70s, there were such piles of it. There was a big uprising about plastic, pollution. But what did the corporate people say? You wanted it. You threw it away. It wasn't their propaganda that was pushing you to say, dispose of it. You don't need glass. You don't need this, whatever else.
Glass is actually helping.
They always manipulate you to believe in you are the guilty one, and you will always pay the price as long as they're getting their dollar. I tell you what, if you talk about sustainability, yeah, that is what the UN means by sustainability. Devise an idea, sell it to the public. It's sustainable as long as we're getting money. That is corporate sustainability. And when it's no longer making money, they'll switch to something else. That is corporate sustainability. Nothing else. They don't care about the planet. They don't care about the people. It's income. Nothing more, nothing less. And yeah, I do not like them, but there you go. Oh, yeah. And the EU are going to... Oh, you were talking about the EU ID digital thing, weren't you?
Yes, I have a clip of that if you'd like for me to play it.
Bung that up there because they're doing something else as well.
I have not watched the clip. I have not tested. I don't know if it's just words scrolling by or if there's a narration voice, but we'll see.
We'll sing through it otherwise, shall we?
Right. I will just, yeah, get rid of that. But anyway, this is, yeah. So anyway, this, they're going to replace all of the IDs, or at least they're trying to, with the EU digital wallet. We knew this was coming. Yeah, we knew this was coming with COVID.
Secure tool.
Yeah, safe and secure. So there's, you know, your national ID, your driving license, bank details, prescription, and other vital info. And there's no way this could be
just about everything.
Yeah, everything. Pretty much everything. Just yeah, everything. There's no yeah, way yeah. any of this could be hacked or anything like that. Share and sign e-documents to open accounts, hire vehicles, and more. And this is going to be your basically this is your passport, kind of like what you were referring to earlier.
What about privacy?
Yeah, privacy. Users have full control over how and where their data is shared. You know, that's bullshit. Oh,
that's a lie.
Yeah, right. That's a bunch of nonsense. The system will be inclusive and voluntary. Those is voluntary.
Inclusive and voluntary. Uh-huh. As in voluntary, as in you can't have this if you're not on the system.
Yes, that's voluntary. Yes. Well, you see, you can choose whether or not you want to be on the system. You see that? So yeah. And it's seamless, right? You see how seamless
use
that
your
is?
Your votes.
Yes, of course. Yeah. You'd be able to vote with
this
too.
European elections, 6th, 9th, June 2024. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Von der Leyen's going for another term. Did you know that? You did not know Judge.
She should be doing the rest of her life in jail.
She should be doing the rest of her life in prison. Yes, I agree.
She's just terrible.
She will seek re-election. Yeah. Yes.
Do they realize what the EU is pushing as well alongside this?
Well, that's what I saw today. The vote count on this one, by the way, for the EU Parliament on the digital IDs, it did pass. This will still have to be formally endorsed by the EU Council of Ministers to become law. But of course, we see that happening. 335 to 190 with 31 abstentions. So it did pass.
That's disgusting.
It is disgusting. That shows that two-thirds of that EU Parliament, that whole thing is just a farce. It's as big a farce as the United Nations.
Yeah. Yes, it is. United Nations. No matter where, this is what gets me, no matter where you go, there is a United Nations office, group, or whatever behind everything. There are so many of them. It's just ridiculous.
You know that's where the digital ID is coming from, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Definitely. Everything gets pushed through business schools and everything. And the EU are pushing to put a life on cars.
A life on cars.
Oh, non-green cars.
Aha. We've been kind of speculating over the last few years on how they're going to get you out of a petrol or diesel powered car.
Oh, well, they're saying you gotta listen to this.
Well,
you will not be allowed to replace parts if they fail on your 15-year-old car.
Okay, all right. I thought they were going to use the insurance companies to leverage people out, like they were going to charge you higher premiums or something. That's interesting. That's creative. Yeah. That's creative.
Yeah. You're not going to be allowed to replace parts on the car.
You can't replace the parts on.
But you know, gets me. Yeah, we have. There's a lot of Portuguese in Norfolk. Yeah.
Yeah.
They come over here, and a lot of them do garage repairs and are really good with cars. And
Yeah.
And if you go to Portugal, the average age of their cars is somewhere around about 20 years, I think. At least 12 or 13 years. Most, a lot of them as well. People keep their cars going. And can you imagine all these pressures, all this cost that's on top of you at the moment, you will keep your car going, will you not? You're not just going to go out and go, I'm going to buy a new one. Now, if you had a bit of spare cash flow, you'd give it, I'll just go out and get a car. I'll get a car. Now, they're adding this on top of the pile of pressure, and that's what they're pushing.
Well, it's to get you out of the ownership of a car at the end of the day.
Oh, you can probably hire one.
But you need the ID.
You might have an allowance.
Yeah, but you need
the ID
to hire.
You might be allowed to do so many miles a year.
It'll cost you £70 if you break the rule.
Come with a permit. You'll have your own official number plate, which you have to put on your car every time to know it's you going somewhere in it.
With your ID to scan to get into it. Yeah, it is.
Yeah,
it is.
Exactly. Yeah. So basically what you do is, if you want to be a right pain in the ass people, you wait till somebody parks up at a motel, hotel, pub, restaurant, and you take the number plates off and change them, and they can't get home. Or they find they've been fined how much money the next day because they came into the wrong place. You know what I mean? Yeah. You can imagine the stupidity of it all, or what is going to happen. It is. It's going to be just mayhem.
Do you want to talk? Because of of all this economic woes and stuff, do you want to talk about? I have a clip here from 60 Minutes on China's housing thing. Would you like for me to play that, or do you want me to save it?
The empty ones or the full ones?
The empty ones, yes. Yeah, you'd be surprised how much they actually have in empty housing.
They got cities.
They have cities, all right, and as many vacant apartments as they have, it's unreal.
Yeah, I know. It's amazing. Actually, it would make a wonderful documentary if it was allowed to go out there, because people have made documentaries on it.
Mm-hmm.
And I also wonder, do you want to put something out?
Well, we can, but I didn't know if you wanted to move on from the next subject or whatever you had, if you wanted to get into that. I didn't know if you want to talk about China today and their, anything going on with them.
Johnny, bring a subject up.
No problem.
I've got something to talk about, but I can wait a second.
Okay. This is the current state of empty flats in China. It's unbelievable.
We reported on the real estate sector 10 years ago with astonishing sights like this of empty buildings in city after city across the country. This is today. Similar hollowed out wastelands of unoccupied and unfinished apartments known as ghost cities.
When I was here 10 years ago, I never expected to see these buildings still here.
Yeah.
What was a housing bubble back then grew and finally exploded. This real estate crisis lies at the heart of China's economic decline.
Has anybody counted up the number of empty units, across the whole country?
Well, the whole of Germany, we have 82 million people could move in here right away. 80 to 90 million apartments are empty.
80 to 90 million apartments are empty.
Right, unfinished.
Basically, the entire population of Germany could be put into the empty houses that they have in China. Of course, who would want to live in China?
Maybe that's the plan.
Of course, none of them are finished.
So you're going to have 80 million Germans get shipped into China, and then you're going to have 80 million Chinese getting shipped into Germany.
Well, that sounds about right. Yeah, it's a very hospitable place, China. Yeah, it's a very, very nice place to live. And if you don't do what you're told,
why is that being allowed now?
Well,
it's been hidden for so long.
It has been hidden. Usually when they I'm just going to go out on a limb here. I'm reaching for this one. But whenever you see them broadcasting that, and it's openly done, that was aired on the U.S. networks. And it was allowed to be. Well, no, it was allowed to be filmed in China. And you know that they had a look at it before it went out. Otherwise, they would not have, the miners.
That's what I mean.
Have it out. So that means that, in my opinion, that means that China is in the process. That's confirmation to me that China is switching their economy. They're switching to a military economy, and I think they're going to go on.
They're switching something, but that is what they showed you there was not the pretty. They have got some lovely looking cities, lovely looking places that are empty.
Yeah, they're empty
with some really nice stone art design and everything that was built.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there's no one there. They were just like sky rises, empty tower blocks, basically. That's what they were showing you. Bland, empty. But I tell you what, there is masses. If you think about it, somebody will give it, there can't be 80 to 90 million apartments. People can't envisage that number, but think on it. That is what they've pushed or used their economy. Even in the UK, the false economy is worked on. They're building more houses. They're building the construction businesses. It is a total false economy and it's abused. It's just a joke. And this is why they want to digitize everything, so they can just write it off even easier and make it up as you go along. And that's pretty scary. But then they couldn't hide the fact that two of their biggest construction companies have just about hit the floor.
You mean the real estate companies, Evergrande and Country Garden, I think was the other one. And something I think there's a third one on the hook now. Yeah, there's a third one that's on the brink of it now.
Yeah, they were pulling away. I said that a while ago. China officially said they're pulling away from the debt and whatever. Yeah, they're making a change. But the problem is they can't afford to go on a war footing either.
Well, they can if they're not making consumer goods anymore. They're slowly winding that down, and they need to move. This is why
it doesn't work.
I understand, but it works for them. It doesn't work for us, but it works for them.
Well, it ain't going to work for them, even if they have an outpouring. It will not work.
If China believes that they can win, they will go. I don't think they will. I don't think they will move otherwise. If they believe they can win, then they'll go. And the way that Xi's been talking and the way that they've been switching their economies and the deals that they've been doing with North Korea and Russia and Iran, I don't see how they're not going on a war footing.
Makes me wonder whether it's all part of the same melting pot, because no matter what happens, war is a outmoded, outdated, just it's pointless. Tribal expansion, yeah. But that's going back God knows how many years. But all this warring just doesn't work. The biggest, scariest thing is this global movement. This global movement which will continue to go. That is the one thing that cannot be allowed. You can have a global structure, but with separate companies, separate countries. And the countries have to be independent. You cannot, because otherwise it is a global structure. Put it this way, right? If you want to look into a future, right, even as it is, even if they believe they are independent, but they're not actually writing any of their policies, somebody else is writing the policies on a global idea and they all move to it. What will that mean? Eventually, although it'll be a totalitarian thing, eventually it will come down to singular individual, a power movement, and it'll be self-destructive on the people, because all they'll do always happens that way. It consumes the people. It consumes the environment. It consumes resources just to keep it going. And it's all the spout about for the people, for this. You've heard it all before. It cannot work that way, because it's a self-destructive way. And they'll be putting satellites up to point down on you. And it'll be an insular society. An insular society where they'll have ideas about moving out into the solar system, but then the main controlling party will say it cannot be afforded, and it'll become very insular, where the power control will be on the people, and it'll be a really dark time. You cannot afford a global government without independent voices. And at the moment, it doesn't seem we've got many very independent voices.
No, and the ones we have are being selectively stomped out. You know, it's as we move forward, if you look at some of the things you've been talking about over the last 3 or 4 months now, the internet censorship that they're trying to bring into all these different countries, in different ways they're trying to do it, that's to shut us down.
Yeah, it's to shut any free speech down, any ideas, any voice. If there has to be two things. You can either call it a voice of reason, that means open debate, or a voice in opposition. Right or wrong, opposition makes you think. Because if you have one direction, one voice, and you believe you're right, and the problem with human thinking is generation after generation, grooming and breeding, whatever. This is good. This is how the people like it. This is what it is. It becomes the norm. La, 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 la. You get a case of self-belief. You get this self-belief and they just channel it down the way. Well, you know, and it becomes like a religion, and it's self-destructive, because if you don't have opposition, you don't actually be able to find balance. You just go off in a tangent and it'll go to one extreme or another. And one extreme or another, too good or too bad, isn't right. You've got to find balance. Otherwise, you cannot understand where you are or where you're going. Truly understand where you are, where you're going. You might have some myopic idea, but that'll be it. And yeah, if you believe you're right and there's nobody in opposition to say you're not, or make you think or go question it, it's just not good. Not good whatsoever. But there you go.
What's the next subject you had? What's the next subject you had?
Andrew.
Bridgeton?
Yeah.
Yeah, what's he done?
He was in Parliament the other day.
Oh, was he the only one in Parliament?
No.
Because a lot of his colleagues like to just get up and walk out. Or was it at 2:30 in the morning?
No.
No? Was it a full house?
No. It was a house that he stood up in. And right, the leader of the House of Commons is a lady called Penny Mordaunt, yeah? And as Martin says, she's an MP for Portsmouth North, and he said she was a naval officer or whatever. Well, I did look into her. But what it started with was, yeah, he actually voiced, because they left him to the end of the day.
Of course they did.
He requested a debate. He said, can we have a debate on crimes against humanity and what the appropriate punishment for those who perpetrate, collude, and cover up for these atrocities should be. He didn't put any titles, he didn't whatever, but he said, can we have a debate in Parliament about what should be the punishment if we have people that do this? Yeah? There was one really good, interesting response, and I have to read out what she says because she is just a piece of shit, but there's so much truth in this. And this led me down something similar to what I was talking about earlier. She said, I think the Honourable Gentleman's incredibly subtle question is not lost on anyone in this House where he might be taking it. It is appropriate that the finale of this session, which has featured conspiracy theories, should fall to the Honourable Gentleman. So she starts to get a bit, And the reason, well, I'll tell you why she said subtle question. And I would just caution him. She cautioned him. Also, just to reflect with the things that he has said about his own behaviour and what he does on social media, the security measures that have had to be stepped up for honourable members in this House in the wake of some of the things he said on social tweets and questions in the House. I'm going to call out on every occasion when he's doing things that are, I think, he said, a danger to our democracy and also the safety and security of members in the House. Now, I listened to that and I went, this is very strange. First of all, you say it's subtle, therefore she's accusing him of making an accusation against the House, obviously. And I thought, okay, because he does want to bring criminal proceedings. And she then says she's going to call him out on anything that brings safety and security of members of the House. And I'm giving it, hang on, how could that affect the safety and security of the House? And then this led me down to having a look at her history and two other things. Right? First of all, I didn't realise that in 2020 to 2021, 645 MPs were given a notice of liability with reference to COVID.
A notice of liability?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
In 20, so they're closing ranks, aren't they? Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
So they're closing ranks. And then I went, so I wonder, you know, what has she been up to? And I thought, hang on, let's see where she's been. Yeah. She wrote essays in 2019. Well, in 2019, she wrote a load of essays and I looked into it and it mirror imaged the UN's SDGs.
The Sustainable Development Goals.
Oh, yeah. So she's a globalist.
Of course she is. Yes.
Right. Right. So she's a globalist. In fact, she's not only a globalist, but she got involved in the GFF with the World Bank, which is the Global Financing Facility. Yeah. Right. And guess who came on board with that? The Gates Foundation, Gavi, UNICEF, Rockefeller. Yeah.
The usual suspects, basically. Yeah.
Yeah. Several UN funds. So in 2021, she published a book, right? Greater Britain After the Storm. She co-authored this book, yeah? Guess who wrote a foreword in it?
Somebody from the World Economic Forum.
Bill Gates.
Bill Gates.
And
I was close.
And funny enough, this global financing facility, yeah? By 2023, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation was a third of the largest donors to this thing.
Uh-huh.
Alongside Norway, for some reason, and Canada. Which probably means Chinese funds.
Usually, yeah. If they're running it through Canada, yes.
And she is basically the leader of the House of Commons.
Yeah, that's because she's in pocket. That's why she's in there as leader of the House of Commons.
You're not wrong. I mean, Come on. She is totally globalized and she ain't fit for purpose, but she's been put there to open her mouth and say whatever. Course. And sorry, Andrew, but yeah, I didn't know it. But in 2020 to 2021... those notices of liability were fed out there. So that is why they've closed ranks.
Are we surprised, though? Are we really? This goes back to what you were talking about in prep with the businesses.
It's quite interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
That basically, and so you can understand Rishi Sunak saying stupid things like COVID vaccine is safe. Well, yeah, you got to believe the lie you just fucking put on your people. You've harmed the harm and everything in there. So 645. Apparently, that isn't all the MPs, Martin was saying, so I don't know who they missed off the list. Maybe they missed Andrew off. There's one of them.
I was going to say, yeah, they have to pull him off the list. But I'm sure it wouldn't be difficult to find that list. You have a list of all your elected MPs, I would assume.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think if I went down the lines of, if I followed the trail of Dr. Tess Laurie into the World Council for Health and all the really interesting things that they do, and they do seriously try to help people or give them ways to look into stuff and give them good advice. And yeah, this has been pushed out there by them and other people years ago. But I didn't realize that they actually threw out the notice of liability. And I think that is, yeah, you should be held accountable. But I don't know how far the notice of liability lasts for. I think, I mean, it is like a certain amount of years unless it's renewed. But yeah, they're whitewashing stuff like that. I mean,
You got time for one more. If not, then I have a surprise for you.
Well, I like surprises.
Okay, so you want me to just get to the surprise and then we can wrap up?
Throw a surprise in.
Okay, all right.
Please do.
All right, Glasgow, yeah? Scotland.
Yeah, I'll pass my driving test there.
Did you? I'm surprised you did, being on the wrong side of the road and all. Yes, I have to do it every single time. I have to, yeah. Sorry, English listeners. I do apologize. Excuse me. Sorry, UK listeners, because we have listeners in Scotland, Wales, Northern Ireland, and England. So I have to be all-encompassing. You're familiar with the Kelvin Grove Art Gallery that's up there, the big art gallery where they have the bust of Queen Victoria and everything?
Never been there.
You've never been there? Really?
No.
But you're familiar with the facility, though, yes?
I've heard of it, but that's about as far as I'll go.
Well, today, some overgrown children
oil people.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, pretty much. The Extinction Rebellion, oil, you know, whatever, got in there.
There's Queen Vic, isn't it?
Yeah, it's her. Yep. And they just kind of, well, they decorated a little bit is all they did. They dumped some.
You're serious?
Some stuff. Oh, yeah, yeah. They wrote the word, spray painted the word. Well, I'm not going to repeat it, but it's the C word.
See you next Tuesday.
Yeah, that one. And then dumped strawberry and raspberry jam all over the bust of Queen Victoria.
Why?
I don't know. I don't know the reason behind this. I don't have any idea. I'm assuming it has something to do with stopping oil or the environment or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
Colonialism or something. I don't know.
Did she sort of have a hand in corporate business up to her neck? Or
I'm not sure.
Do you know, this is what I don't understand. In this country, especially in the UK... The times of war and everything like that, but the times that we've moved forward and held tight against our neighbours across the water and everything is when we've had a queen on the throne, whether it's Elizabeth I, whether it's Queen Victoria I, or whether it's Queen Elizabeth II.
Are you to say that, since you now have a king on the throne and you will have another one after this one is... after he abdicates or passes on, is that to say that you foresee another conflict with your neighbors across the water?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying those were the staunch times where the people rallied alongside the royal families. There was always something different between us, but this is where the country held strong in many cases. But I will say something about the position of the Prince of Wales. If you look historically into that position, there have been some crazy mad coots in that position in English history. Yes, very strange ones to boot.
Didn't William take over that role after Charles? Or am I mistaken? Yeah. I don't know.
I lost. It seemed to, you know, when you can see that something that you've actually historically, if the people... looking into the UK in a historical way. And yes, we've always had a royal family and we've always had people, irrespective of one way or another, whether some people want to say, well, you know, if it comes down to this, right? In this country, we've always had something that we call the Joneses and the Browns or something like that, you know. One neighbour's got more than the other and they live next door to the other and they always want to outdo each other, yeah?
Yes.
Well, the royal family, no matter what happens, whether it's with Henry, who just hated the Catholic Church, and he just didn't want the Europeans to rule over the UK. He was a total git anyway, and there are gits, but it became a family thing, and you will bring power to yourselves, a powerful structure, and you'll stay there whatever. You have parliaments, we had our parliamentary war with against the royals, and we've had loads of historical mess-ups, but we have held together. And at the moment, There's nothing but chaos. There's no identity. And this is what I'm talking about. Countries have to have identity. People have to have identity so they can have a voice. Idiots that put that sort of thing and deface or don't care about their history, because they don't. Historically, to get from one place to another, you probably, somebody beat somebody up or overruled somebody or trod on somebody so that their village can survive or their tribe or their country, arguments, no matter what. Yeah? History isn't meant to be a pretty picture. It's meant to be something you learn from. And if you ignore history, you do it at your peril. It's simple as that. Yeah. And before COVID and after COVID, that's going to be a historical book.
Yes. And I do believe that dear old Klaus would probably author it.
What, in one of his algorithms or AI forms?
Could do, yeah. Could do, yeah. If he transfers his...
Can't be that much long left in him.
I don't think so. No, he is. He's approaching. I think he's approaching his 90s. I think he's in his 80s now.
I must admit, though, you wouldn't need a very chipped everything that he is into. You could probably actually do it on part of a spool tape. Or, you know, one of those 8 tracks. You might just get him onto something like that.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's true. 8 tracks. I haven't heard of one of those for many years. 8 tracks. Wow. All right.
There's just nothing.
I know
what has he achieved?
Nothing. Absolutely nothing. We could go back and we could look at his education credentials and things. I mean, that's not, you know, you can't
right.
deny
education,
that.
Look, education credentials and things like they're not there. There are so many different things that make the backbone of society up. And the people that believe that they are the shakers and movers that just go through academia and actually go to meetings and voice another idea, another theory, another this, and push it forward. And it's all to do with either some psychological twitch, some corporate idea, whatever. It's not advancing it. I mean, you listen to someone like Noah Harari. What are we going to do with all these useless people? To actually make that statement, he's written himself off. He has.
He has, yeah, people, but they believe,
are not useless.
Though. Yeah, but people they believe, though. Useless. I understand, but they guys like Harari, they believe, and guys like Schwab and the rest of these people, they believe that they're going to be able to attain immortality by transferring their consciousness to a digital platform. This is why you hear guys like Schwab come out and make statements like we just played last week or the week before last. And he's been saying it for years, where you're going to see a technological revolution, where you're going to see a merger of physical, digital, and biological identities.
You have to have, it's like everything, you have to have a parallel. You have to have a society running parallel to that. Of what one could achieve will take a long time, but it will achieve things in a different way. The other, you've got to allow both. That's the difference with it all. You've got to allow both. And to force something like that and blow what could be either hundreds, thousands, or millions of years, they're in a hurry to get nowhere. They're in a hurry. They're in a hurry to their own demise. It's like lemmings running off of a cliff. It's just ridiculous. You see, that the society that they've created is broken for one reason. You have this thing called a hand up or a handout. They want to just give handouts to people. You just give handouts out, people will take them, and those people won't better themselves. If you gave the hand up and helped people to better themselves, then you would get a better society. Yeah? 15-minute cities don't work. Handouts don't work. Hand ups do, because you feel worthwhile and you work for things. You become part of society. But yeah, going around having cups of tea and meetings and everything is just ridiculous, because that's what most of them do.
They do, and they fly to those locations mostly, and then they tell you how you shouldn't travel or walk outside of your home.
And it's all that green financing that keeps those chips going.
Yes. Well, my friend, we are out of time. It's been an absolute pleasure. We'll see you next week. We'll be back on track next week.
That's fine.
Very good. I will see you later on in the week. So that'll do it for us for today. Thank you for being here today, my friend. Thank you to all of the listeners. God bless everyone, and have a great evening.
Good night, all.